Hey everyone, welcome to M2F Story. Today I am going to share with you Husband Got Made Dress Part 2. So if you are new to the channel, then please consider subscribing. And check out my Patreon, patreon.com/M2F Story. The second day I spent the whole morning doing the windows of the house inside out. It was a tedious job even for someone like me who usually loves housework. I was wearing the same uniform like the day before. The only difference was that Mrs. Melissa gave me a short pageboy wig to put on below my headscarf. That gave me a distinct maid's look for the occasional neighbor who could look at me. From a considerable distance, though. Mrs. Melissa has been out all morning shopping. When she came back, I was in the kitchen getting ready to take Mr. Paul's late morning coffee. She was waiting for me to come back, sitting comfortably in the kitchen table and drinking her cup of coffee. She was in a good mood, and she praised me for my neat appearance and for remembering to wear my white half apron to take the coffee to Mr. Paul. She asked me to serve myself some coffee and join her to the table. She started talking in her usual straight-to-the-point manner. I said before that you look neat and tidy, but I can see that your uniform dress needs washing. Too much messy work, I am afraid. But this is what you are here for, isn't it, Annie? Yes, ma'am, I answered in the brief manner that I was expected to. As you probably know, she continued, your mistress employer allowed me to use you as our maid for a week without any payment, though I was willing to pay normal domestic help wages. After all, I don't approve of slave labor. But she was adamant, so I finally gave in. She stopped briefly to have a sip of her coffee as my mind was racing. I realized that for the first time, she called my wife my mistress, and of course, I had no idea about any payment. But in return, she continued, I decided to be generous with you and buy some clothes and accessories which you can keep when you go. Don't expect anything fancy or expensive. I mostly bought practical items. One more morning uniform for general housework with matching apron, some cheap underwear, and another pair of low-heel shoes. Thank you, ma'am, for your kindness. I answered back in a spontaneous and excited manner I thought was a bit out of line for a servant. She didn't seem to mind my interruption, so I continued. If I may add, ma'am, I brought with me a black and white uniform, not very fancy, but formal enough for evening wear. If you think it is appropriate, I could use it as well. She immediately answered back very enthusiastically. I am very pleased to hear that, Annie, and it fits rather well with my plans for the rest of your stay in this house. In fact, since we are in a chatty mood, I might as well tell you those plans. Tomorrow is Thursday, and you are going to do all the wooden floors. That means spending several hours on your hands and knees waxing and polishing. She looked at me in a mischievous way and continued, as you know, the wooden boards are treated the old-fashioned way, which is more work for the maid, but the result is astonishing and emphasizes the character of this Victorian house. I trust tomorrow you will feel like a Victorian maid and you will realize how hard the servants were working in those days. Of course I am not that cruel. You will wear special knee pads and rubber gloves. I managed to ask her hastily before she had the chance to interrupt me in her usual bossy manner. Excuse me, ma'am, but I remember from previous visits to this house that you had a polishing machine for the wooden floors. Am I going to use it? Good question, Jenny. Indeed, I have a polishing machine, which you will use at the very end as a final touch. But before, there is lots of manual work on your hands and knees. Don't worry, I will be around to supervise and give you instructions if needed. She finished her coffee and I immediately took her cup and saucer back to the sink. I took mine as well. I didn't sit back, thinking that the chat was over, but she continued. Before you go back to work, let me tell you the rest of the program, which I hope you will find intriguing. Saturday night, I invited four friends for a small pre-Christmas dinner party, and of course you are going to serve and wait at the table. That's why I thought that your black and white uniform is handy. What do you think, will you be able to do it? She stopped and looked at me quizzically. I thought for a moment and said truthfully, I am not certain, ma'am, but I would like to try it. I don't have previous experience except, of course, serving at our own home, but this time it appears to be the real thing. And I must admit I was never exposed to totally unknown people as a maid. She looked at me in a skeptical manner as she answered back, but this is exactly the whole point, Jenny. You don't know those people and they don't know you in your male persona. All they are going to see is a properly uniformed maid serving their dinner. And being a servant, you don't have to say much apart from a yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. And I must add something else here. The people that come on Saturday are not exactly straight. There will be a lesbian couple and Paul's gallerist with his wife, both very broad-minded people. And we don't have to hide the fact that you are a male maid. In fact, I am certain that the lesbian couple will enjoy that very much. Her explanations put my mind at ease and at the same time excited me tremendously. And then an idea came, which I immediately said, "Would it be wise, ma'am, to have a small rehearsal? Like serving dinner formally to you and Mr. Paul tomorrow or Friday night so you can teach me some etiquette and correct mistakes." She obviously liked that suggestion because she said at once, "This is a great idea, Jenny. Friday night you are going to cook dinner and serve it properly to your master and me. As for Saturday, I will do most of the cooking. You will be my assistant. Anyway, we will have the chance to talk more about the dinner party. I think it is time for you to go back to work and me to go for my afternoon nap." And with this last remark, she left me to tidy up the kitchen and go back to my windows cleaning, where it was mid-morning and I was already exhausted. For nearly 3 hours, I was down on my hands and knees, scrubbing and polishing the endless wooden floors of the Burns residence. Sweat was pouring down freely on my forehead and neck, and my new pink uniform dress and matching apron were already messy. Mrs. Melissa was coming and going to inspect my work, and often she was asking me to have another go in some parts of the floor. She obviously was enjoying my predicament. She was making little comments like, "I told you it was going to be a difficult job," or "Now you realize what Victorian maids had to go through." But in the other hand, I was working with a commitment that was even for me surprising. Yes, I was going to finish this floor to perfection. I was the maid, and I had to satisfy my employer. Fortunately, the knee pads and rubber gloves were considerably protecting me. About 11 o'clock, I heard the phone ringing in the other room, and then Melissa's melodic voice saying loudly, "Oh, hello, Pat. How are you? Do you enjoy your stay there?" God. It was my wife on the line. All of a sudden, I felt very shy. What I was going to tell her? Before I had time to think, I heard Mrs. Melissa calling me, "Annie, could you come to the phone for a minute? It is your mistress on the line." I deeply blushed because obviously my wife heard my new name and that she was called my mistress. Hastily, I removed my rubber gloves, wiped my hands and face on my apron, and rushed to the phone. I said a timid hello and heard my wife's voice at the other end, vibrant and happy. "Annie, indeed, I love that name. How are you? I am calling from the hotel pool. It is wonderful weather here, and today I have to attend only an afternoon conference, so I am lounging by the pool sipping my dry martini." She obviously had a sip of her drink and continued, "I can see that Melissa is keeping you busy. Do you enjoy working as a real maid?" I answered in a low voice, though Melissa wasn't in the room anymore, "Oh, Pat, I do realize now what it means to work as a maid for another employer. Melissa is very fair with me, but she just treats me as a servant, and I am in the middle of a major spring cleaning. Of course I can't complain. You know how I enjoy housework. After all, this is what I mostly do in our own house. Unfortunately, it is very hot today, and scrubbing floors in those conditions is not exactly fan." She answered back in her jokey voice, "Well, my dear MG, or rather Annie, I can see that she trains you well. You already referred to her as Mrs. Melissa, and I heard that she called me your mistress. Be careful, though. If you get too much training, I might be tempted to change your status in our house and turn you to a full-time maid." The half-jokey remark of my wife left me speechless and at the same time provoked a peculiar excitement and the familiar tinkling in my stomach. "Is this the way I am heading?" Before I had time to answer, Pat continued, "Well, I better go, darling. The water is so inviting and I am about to jump in. Have fun with your chores and be a good maid for Melissa. After all, she is going to give me a full report when I come to pick you up on Monday around lunchtime. Bye for now." As I was heading back to continue my floor scrubbing, I stopped in front of a big mirror and looked at myself. I looked a bit disheveled, so I smoothed the skirt of my uniform dress and retied my apron more tightly to emphasize my waist. At that moment, Mrs. Melissa came in and caught me titivating. I saw her and turned back, blushing and curtsying at the same time. She looked at me sternly and said loudly, "You big sissy, go back to work this very instant because I am going to smack you. You still have lots of floor scrubbing to do." I scurried to find my rubber gloves and polishing rags, feeling very small. Mrs. Melissa spoke to me as if I was a 10-year-old naughty girl doing something improper. 2 hours later, after a much-needed shower and wearing a clean dress and apron that I had to wash and iron the night before, I was sitting in the kitchen table eating a sandwich with a cup of coffee. My whole body was aching, but the floor was looking good, and even my difficult employer finally praised me and let me relax a bit. Later, as I was doing the dishes, Mrs. Melissa came in and took me by surprise yet again by saying, "Ready for a walk to the park, Jenny?" I nearly dropped a plate from the shock. I turned around, wiping my hands in a tea towel and opening my mouth to say something, but she stopped me in her usual arrogant manner. "Don't be so shocked, Jenny. Let me explain to you. I have to take Bruno out for his afternoon walk, and I thought you could join us. I see that you have a clean uniform on. Just remove your apron and go to your room to fix yourself up a bit." She must have seen my incredulous expression, because she said in a gentler tone, "Now don't you worry, Jenny, I will come to your room in a few minutes and I'll help you to look your best, for your first outing as a maid." It was about 4 o'clock when we finally left the house, and I must admit that I felt a bit more confident, though still on edge, as we were heading for the nearby park. Mrs. Melissa tried hard to improve my looks, and I think she succeeded up to a point. I was wearing my blue-striped cotton uniform dress, fortunately without the apron. The padded bra and waist cincher gave me an adequately feminine look. Black pantyhose and 2-inch black shoes added to it. It was obvious that the dress was part of a domestic's uniform. No question about it. The front buttoning and white piping around the collar, short sleeves, and 2 front pockets were more than sufficient proof. A white hairband around my pageboy-style wig emphasized even more my status. Finally, my makeup was masterful, thanks to Mrs. Melissa's skills. Not exaggerated, but sufficient to soften my features. Mrs. Melissa was talking to me all the time. "Now, Annie, avoid big strides and keep your knees together as you walk. People usually don't pay too much attention to passers-by, unless something unusual catches their eye. In your case, there is nothing unusual. The maid walks the dog in the park. In this rather upper-middle-class part of town, this is very common. In fact, this is a daily routine for our regular maid, Betty." She stopped to catch her breath because we were walking uphill, and I grabbed the chance to say something. "Excuse me, ma'am? Are you going to unleash the dog? He pulls very hard, and I can hardly hold him." It was true. Bruno was about to throw me down. He was pulling so hard, and I was getting more and more uneasy. Mrs. Melissa laughed mischievously and said, "Don't get panicked, Annie. We will let him go shortly. He will run around for about 10 minutes, and he will come back to us. In fact, I have some extra work for you, something that is definitely maid's work." I looked puzzled as she opened her bag and retrieved a small trowel and a plastic bag, saying, "Now you watch Bruno carefully. When you see him defecate, you rush and pick up his feces, put it in the plastic bag, and dispose accordingly. The rules in this park are very strict on that issue." And before I had the chance to absorb what she just said, Bruno was unleashed, and 50 yards down the path he was relieving himself. Dutifully, I rushed after him, slightly kneeled and picked up his feces with the trowel. I must admit, I never felt so low in my life. I swallowed whatever little pride left on me and rushed to a nearby bin to dispose of it. The rest of our walk was rather uneventful, and though I was always aware of my looks, I gradually stopped feeling so nervous, and I started feeling more excited. What was happening to me was beyond my wildest dreams. And yet Melissa's no-big-deal attitude made it look as the most natural thing. As I was doing the dishes later in the evening, I was thinking that at the end of my 3rd day as a maid to the Burns household, I was adapting to the role like a duck in the water. The Burns were sitting comfortably in the living room in front of their TV. Bruno was asleep peacefully by their feet, and I was finishing my chores in the kitchen. As I was plunging my rubber glove hands in the warm, soapy water, fiddling with the various pots and pans, I realized that I was feeling very relaxed and happy. Turning a bit philosophical, I was thinking how much more balanced our world would be if people, and especially men, could choose freely what to do, ignoring the society's stereotypes like, "This is woman's work," or "Men never cry," etc., etc. I firmly believe that lots of married couples would be much happier in a role reversal condition, if the outside environment would be prepared to accept it. My reverie was interrupted abruptly by Mrs. Melissa. "Are you daydreaming, Annie?" I turned quickly and gave a small curtsy. "I am sorry, ma'am, I was just thinking that I enjoy working for you. You are a good and fair employer." I said that, and blushed all over. She looked at me slightly amused and said, "I just treat you as I would treat any servant, male or female. I know that you like being a maid, and that suits me fine. For as long as you do what you are told and follow my instructions, of course I will be fair with you. But I can turn really bitchy if I detect insubordination or sloppiness at your work." She stopped to look at me as I was standing by the sink, nearly at attention, hands resting in front of my aproned skirt and eyes not looking directly at her. I felt tired after a long day of hard housework, and I obviously looked it because she said, "I think, Annie, it is bedtime for you. Tomorrow it's going to be another busy day, so you have to get your strength back. Just a few words for tomorrow's program, though. Of course you are going to cook dinner and serve it properly to Mr. Burns and myself, wearing the black and white uniform you brought with you as a general rehearsal for Saturday's dinner party. But you don't have to start that activity until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The rest of the day you are going to spend in the laundry room, and of course our bathrooms need a good cleaning, and we have 5 of them." She looked at me skeptically and continued, "Your mistress tells me you are an excellent laundress, and also you iron very carefully. I guess I'll find out tomorrow how good you are. Now you better finish tidying up here and go to bed. Good night." I managed to say a meek, "Good night, ma'am," with a small curtsy, but she was already out of the room. That's it for today. Hope you have enjoyed it. If you do, then be sure to subscribe for the next part of this story. And show your support on Patreon.